Yeah. Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to this Thursday night edition of the FSP Crew Show. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master. And the number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to the Master, and that's me. We've got a great show in store for you tonight. Going to talk about football. There's a lot of football. There's games that are going to be played today, tomorrow, and over the weekend. We talk about some of them, some today that's taking place. We're talking about injuries. The injury bug is hitting some teams with major players, and we're going to be talking about that. Also talking about Deflategate, an ongoing saga that can't seem to get out of its own way. So we'll be talking about that also. And like I said, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. I am joined by my esteemed co-host, Jeff the Joker, two Jersey guys. Let me bring in my co-host and we can start this show off. What's up, my man? What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jerry. What's going on?
Oh, boy. There's a lot going on, man. I don't know if you've gotten into any drafts yet. I don't get into my first draft until I think this Sunday. But there's the injury bug has been hitting some teams, and we'll be getting to that. But first, I want to talk about this. And it's, like I said, it's an ongoing saga, and I got to talk about it because the fact is that Tom Brady and the NFL and the judge are a trio that are bound together until they finally decide on whether the NFL and Tom Brady are going to come to some type of compromise, or the judge who's been trying to get them and hinting and strongly encouraging them to come to a compromise, going to have to make a decision. From what I understand, that the 31st, the judge, let me back up. The last time, 2 weeks, not this week, last week, both Roger Goodell and Tom Brady were in attendance in the courtroom. And when they tried to hammer out, and the judge was admonishing both sides for whatever reason. And they recessed with, quite naturally, they let out that week with no resolution. And they were supposed to meet. They met again this week. It was televised on the NFL Network, if I'm not mistaken. I didn't get a chance to watch it, but from what I understand, neither parties, meaning Goodell or Tom Brady, were in attendance, weren't required to be in attendance. And the judge kept on admonishing both sides and encouraging in certain amount of words that they should settle and not think that one side or the other has the upper hand. And also instructed both parties to have their principals in attendance, I think the next time is the 31st of August, meaning Roger Goodell and Tom Brady have to be in attendance. And hopefully, not hopefully, but with the intent by then Hopefully the judge is thinking that they come to some type of resolution, or before the season starts, if I'm not mistaken, the judge is going to make a decision one way or the other, and no one knows which way it's going at this point. One side or the other is going to be displeased. Now, Tom Brady, and I'm trying to lay this all out for you, Jeff, I'm pretty sure you heard about it. Tom Brady has agreed to say that he'll take some type of punishment, maybe one game or something like that, for not cooperating, but won't go any further in saying that he knew about what was going on with the balls, that he was in some type of conspiracy. And the NFL said, no, you got to take some blame here. You got to admit that you took part in this, not just the part that you failed to cooperate completely. And pretty much that's what the stalemate is right now. Tom Brady seemed like he took a step forward, but not a big enough step. And with all that said, I rambled on for about 5 or 6 minutes. But Jeff, what's your thoughts?
Okay, but based on what I've heard from the legal experts, the judge is pushing Goodell and, you know, Brady and their people toward a compromise, because the judge doesn't want to make a decision. Thing is, if the judge makes a decision, it's going to be black or white, you know. So I
exactly.
guess the key is Brady doesn't want to compromise, the closest they can get to, if he says, well, I won't admit the, you know, messing up, you know, messing around with the balls, but I guess I'll, you know, take a one game suspension for obstruction, basically. And my thing is, not that I'm a big fan of the Patriots and their antics, but I absolutely loathe Goodell. I mean, this man graduated law school, passed the bar, right? Supposed to be some hotshot attorney. And he's a buffoon. It's like he has no concept of due process or anything like that. He wanted to be the dictator of the NFL, and he just keeps screwing it up. And who wants to see a dictator? You know, and I'll tell you, Richard Sherman, the Seattle Seahawks star corner, was right on the money, talking about, you know, teams getting fined as a joke because they make so much money. Even $1 million for a team is nothing. I mean, you know, even for Brady, you know, who's got money, $1 million is a chunk. You know, it'd be like, you know, for guys like you and me, if, you know, parking tickets were $1, you'd be like, whatever, I'll park my car wherever I want then. You know, what's the big deal?
Right. Yeah, I got to admit it, but I can't see a happy resolution. I would thought that smarter minds would have prevailed, but obviously both sides have dug in, and I think there's some owners behind it too, also trying to weaken the players that much more, and trying to make a statement that they can do this to Brady, they can do it to anybody quite naturally. And just trying to wield their power. Now, it's going to be difficult on either side when and if a decision is rendered, if it's not a compromise brought about, that if it's going to rest after that, or if somebody going to appeal to the whoever. To the appellate court, who the heck knows? If the two sides, one side's not pleased and takes it further. One big mess over inflated footballs. Wow, that's all I can say is wow. And speaking of the Patriots, and I don't know if you heard this one, Jeff. I just happened to catch this about half hour ago. Peyton Manning takes extreme precautions in Patriots visiting locker room because he believes it's bugged. Let me read this article to you because I just saw this article. Came out to today that it's no secret that Peyton Manning is insanely competitive. So it should not come as a surprise how he reacted when conversations with ex-Patriots players led him to believe that the Patriots visitors' locker room was bugged. In short, Manning assumed it was true and went out of his way to make sure the Patriots couldn't hear anything important he had to discuss with his coaching staff. Peter King first strongly hinted at the story in 2010 as something of a rumor in a column leading up to a matchup between Manning's Indianapolis Colts and the Patriots at Gillette Stadium. A quote from Peter King: "I've always heard reliably that the Colts never trusted that they were totally alone in the Colts locker room in Foxborough, and that when Manning had something of strategic significance to say to offensive coordinator Tom Moore, they both stepped outside into the concourse outside the locker room." Oh, was this just Manning being paranoid and overreacting to Spygate, which happened in 2007, when the Patriots were caught videotaping an opposing team's signals during a game? Well, Manning's coach in Indianapolis, Tony Dungy, was a guest on the Dan Patrick Show and confirmed this report and says there was a little more to it than that. Dungy was asked if Peyton Manning did step out into the hallway to discuss strategy with his coach because he thought the locker room was bugged. "That is very true," Dungy said with a chuckle, as Peyton talked to the guys who played for the Patriots. And some of the guys who came over to the Colts, whether it is true or not, he treated it as true, and we didn't have a lot of strategy discussed inside the locker room, meaning Gillette Stadium. This doesn't necessarily mean that the locker room was bugged or even that the players told Manning it was bugged. It could simply be a case where Manning grilled ex-Patriot players on what they knew about the Colts, and Manning was suspicious about how they knew so much. But at the same time, in light of Spygate, the Deflategate saga, and mysterious happenings such as accusations of opposing teams' communications going down at critical points in games at Gillette Stadium, this certainly raises some eyebrows, or maybe Peyton is just paranoid. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, it's very possible. It's not surprising. It's not shocking to me. I mean, I've been hearing this stuff since I was a kid. I remember many years ago, they accused Al Davis of bugging at a visitor's locker room, you know, but that was when the Raiders were good. When they were losing, nobody was worried about that. But, you know, there's a lot of paranoia, and, you know, it's a very high level of competition. And, you know, some of these teams bend the rules a little, you know, and it happens, you know. And so, sometimes they go a little too far. It's, you know. It's tricky with that. You know, what was that nonsense in that? As long as they're not using electronics, duh, then change up your signs or hide them better. You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's baseball. You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's why you have signs, because you don't scream at a guy, "Take the pitch." You know, you give a sign. That's the purpose, to, you know, make an effort to conceal it. It's nonsense, you know.
Well, let me ask you something. Why is it always happens to be the same team, meaning the Patriots, that are embroiled in all this controversy? And I can't believe it's just because of them winning. It's got to be winning a lot. It's got to be a reason why a lot of teams are suspicious of what the Patriots are doing in order to win.
Part of it is the winning, and also how many other teams have got busted for cheating. And I mean, the Patriots have their own Gordon Liddy guy, this guy Ernie Adams, who's supposed to be the brain. And he's the brain, and he was able supposedly to, you know, during halftime, could look at the other team's signals and be able to make adjustments where a lot of other people wouldn't be able to do so. And, you know, Adams has been around the team forever, and he has a vague title and a vague description, and he's kind of like Belichick's right-hand man. I mean, if you notice frequently in training camp or in practice, the Patriots will wear jerseys with no numbers, you know, which I think they're the only team I could think of that does that on a regular basis. That started when Belichick was in Cleveland. He said it was because he was worried that out-of-town reporters were watching practice and, you know, blabbing to the other teams. But supposedly it was really because he liked to use non-roster players occasionally in practice. I find that very easy to believe.
Well, let me ask you some. Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
You know, it's so funny because I'm surprised the league allows that. Because, you know, you see the Patriots in training camp, and you see a big star, Tom Jersey, wearing a jersey with no number. And then you see fans, the place is packed with fans, and the fans are wearing jerseys with numbers. It's silly. It's really silly.
Yep.
And you can buy these. The fans should start buying Patriots jerseys with no numbers.
Well, you know, before Belichick came to the Patriots, there was no shenanigans and things happening and them being fined and all this stuff being found out about cheating, different forms of cheating, and bending the rules or and loopholes and things like that. And then when Mr. Belichick decided to leave the Jets and come to the Patriots, I don't know if there was a deal with the devil, so to speak, that Belichick figured him being up in Foxborough, he could get away with, and that organization could get away with whatever they wanted, because it seems like, other than the Saints with Bounty Gate, that the Patriots are the biggest cheaters, so to speak, in the league. And it seems like, and I could be wrong, but it seems like everyone else is pretty much playing by the rules, and the Patriots are not. And at times, and this is why I think they got caught, they're so blatant about it that they get caught, they get fined. But even when the first fine and the draft picks taken away when they had Spygate, obviously it didn't deter them because this came up, Deflategate. And there's a pattern here that is pretty disturbing, that one organization is every few years is getting caught doing something that's cheating, in essence, cheating. And crying wolf, I wouldn't say crying wolf, but crying foul every time they've gotten exposed. And I think there was a rumor, and I think it's still, I think it's not a rumor. I think it's a fact that a lot of owners are fed up with this garbage and want to make an example of Tom Brady, who's the poster boy for the NFL, one of them, and wants to try to bring the Patriots down a notch and really pushing for Brady to get some type of penalty other than a $25,000 fine and maybe one game. So we have to wait and see if the judge decides to side with the NFL or side with Tom Brady. I have a tendency to think he's going to side with the NFL. Reason being that the two sides have a collective bargaining agreement, and they agreed to all the steps in the penalty process, whether it was his Goodell's office giving the penalty, or the hearing the appeal, that all was agreed upon. So we'll have to wait and see in the next few weeks, and I imagine it's going to probably take place before the beginning of the season. I would think so. To see if Tom Brady is going to prevail, or the ever-present NFL and Roger Goodell. All right, let's move on to another problem. And you know, wait a minute. You know, I wanted to say something here too. I don't know if you heard this. That Skip Bayless today, accused Roger Goodell of framing Tom Brady over Deflategate. I'm not really going to go into it, but I think if people want to YouTube something like that or go on a site to listen to what Skip Bayless had to say, I don't know if it has any weight or not, but it's just another person with an opinion on whether it's for the league or against the league that thinks for the player. Anyway, we got some NFL games, preseason games on today, and for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But the problem is that some of these players that are supposed to be playing are hurt, meaning they're hurt for a couple games, or they're are out for the season. Now, I got a list of teams here that I want to go down and get your thoughts on how relevant it's going to be for each team. On I'll start with the Arizona Cardinals. They got two defensive players that are out for the season. One with Achilles, meaning defensive lineman Corey Peters is out for the season with an Achilles. DB Brandon Person is out with a knee for the season. Michael Floyd, like we talked about a few weeks ago, or for those who know who Michael Floyd is, a wide receiver on the Arizona Cardinals, had three broken fingers and is questionable for a start of the season. Same with Jermaine Gresham, who happens to be a tight end for the Arizona Cardinals. And another wide receiver who just took place last week, about a week ago, Damon Powell, who happens to be I think he's an undrafted free agent, if I'm not mistaken. He's out indefinitely. So let's talk about this, Jeff. Michael Floyd, fantasy relevance, three broken fingers, doesn't make a difference what hand. He has three broken fingers on the hand. And questionable for a start of the season. I think they said he was out 4 to 6 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. What's your thoughts?
You know, I'll tell you, I've been thinking a lot about fingers after the 4th of July.
We'll get to him. We'll get to him.
You know, the Arizona fingers really haven't been on my mind, you know, but, you know, fingers are, you know, can be important, you know. You know, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny, but, you know, obviously, you know, for guys who handle the football, they're important, but even the defensive linemen, you know, the fingers are very important. And, you know, the thing is, you know, with the training camp, especially, it can be hard to decipher what teams, you know, are saying regarding injuries, because in training camp they don't have to disclose as much, and they don't. And for veteran players, you know, if a guy gets a hangnail, they'll keep him out of a preseason game. They'll hold him out of practice occasionally. So it can be hard to decipher.
All right, let's move on to the Atlanta Falcons, who have only one injury right now. Well, I would say this. They have a few injuries. They have two of their running backs, Tevin Coleman, who's a rookie, and Devonta Freeman, who is a second-year player, dealing with hamstrings. I think Coleman is a game-time decision, and Freeman is more likely to play. But they also have Roddy White, the star receiver for quite a while, who's out and probably won't play until the beginning of the season, if that. What's your thoughts on those three guys?
Yeah, if you follow fantasy, you want to know who's going to be starting running backs for NFL teams, and because of the two guys in Atlanta with the hamstring, it's really tough to figure out. And with White, I mean, he's had a very good career, but unfortunately at this point, it looks like he's kind of on the downside.
All right. The Buffalo Bills have several injuries, mostly on the running backs, Carlos Williams, Anthony Dixon, and just recently, LeSean McCoy, and not so recently, Fred Jackson. That's a problem, in my opinion, on the offensive side of the ball. And then they got along with Sammy Watkins, who's dealing with a hip issue. They also have two guys on the defensive side, Leotis McKelvin, who's a DB, who's questionable for the start of the season, and Marcel Darius, who's got a one-game suspension. What's your thoughts? All those guys, especially running backs that aren't healthy, and they're not thinking about bringing in Ray Rice or anybody else. What's your thoughts about the Buffalo Bills and the dilemma they have, especially on the offensive side of the ball and running backs?
Yeah, I think the case with McCoy is they're being very cautious. He's got a pretty good track record. With the other guys, it's like, how do you run a practice with barely any running backs? And I got a Carlos Williams is banged up now. I mean, I think he hurt himself. They, sometimes because of these HIPAA laws, I think it was a non-football injury, but he's out now. So, I mean, they're probably going to have to sign a guy or two just to have another warm body for practices. You know, maybe use a fullback as halfback in practice. Yeah, it's crazy. The Bills are playing right now. I'm curious about what running backs they're using. They're playing, Cleveland. You know, Cleveland made a big deal. They got new uniforms this year. It's a different, slightly different shade of orange. Hip, hip, hooray.
Okay, let's move on to the the Carolina Panthers, who got a devastating news on their second year wide receiver, who have had a lot of upside, that now had a torn ACL, has to get operated on, and is out for the season. I'm talking about Kelvin Benjamin, and their rookie wide receiver, who's dealing with a hamstring and probably won't start a game probably until the beginning of the season, or maybe the last preseason game, if that. And then a defensive lineman, I'm talking about Devin Funchess, for those who don't know, and the defensive lineman who hurt himself earlier part of this year. I mean, this month, with a foot injury, Star Lutotole, and who's a very good defensive player. So they have some key injuries here. What's your thoughts on those guys?
Yeah, I mean, the Benjamin injury is very unfortunate for him, for that team. And At least, you know, this is why you want to have your fantasy drafts in late August, because of injuries like that that can happen in the preseason, because, you know, he was going pretty high in fantasy drafts. And I guess the only good thing, if, you know, you play fantasy, at least with Benjamin, you know he's out. It's not vague. And, you know, he's a young guy, promising player in his second season. And hopefully, you know, he'll have plenty of time to get ready for next training camp. And me, you know, I mean, injuries are such a huge part of football. But it to me, it's worse when a rookie is injured in camp. Because they need camp more than the veterans. And frequently to me, when, you know, a rookie misses most of camp, it usually leads to a disappointing rookie season. Not always. There's exceptions like Odell Beckham, but sometimes these guys, they just can't get healthy, or they just end up in the doghouse and they just can't put together a decent rookie year.
Yeah, and, you know, I meant to mention it. I just realized that in the Buffalo Bills, going back to the Buffalo Bills briefly, Sammy Watkins had a shin injury and is still up in the air whether he's going to be able to play this year because of I think he had an operation on his shin. And his status
Are you thinking about Kevin White in Chicago? I thought he had the shin injury.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Watkins is
always
hurt. So
you're right. You're exactly right. I'm sorry about that. You're right, Jeff. Anyway, let's move to Chicago. Okay. Because that was the next team I was going to talk about. Alshon Jeffrey is dealing with a calf issue. He's probable for the start of the season. And Kevin White dealing with a shin issue. And had it surgery and his status for the season, much less the start of the season, is very in jeopardy because of, the healing process and whether or not he's going to be able to participate this year. So you got to stay tuned for that. Now, that's got some big implications. Alshon Jeffrey may be the only valid wide receiver out there. I mean, they do have Eddie Royal. So Eddie Royal's fantasy relevance may step up because of what may happen to Kevin White. He may be moving up in the ranking, wide receiver rankings in fantasy. So you got to stay tuned to see what happens with those two teams. What's your thoughts on the Chicago Bears?
White was a guy, high draft, playing across from a guy getting double teams most likely. And, I think he's out for at least 6 weeks, I think they said.
Right.
I think he's still eligible to come back, but he might not. So, as far as fantasy goes, you know, maybe in some dynasty leagues you might want to take a chance. But my thing is, you know, I hate taking a chance on an injury-prone guy for in the draft. You know, it's especially early. That cracks me up. So, it really makes him barely relevant.
Okay, let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. Really? Yeah, I got to move. They're an NFL franchise, so I got to move on to them. Dwayne Bowe, who never seems like he's healthy for the whole year, is dealing with a hamstring. Duke Johnson, who some think is a promising running back for the Cleveland Browns, is also dealing with a hamstring. And Barcavius Mingo, which is a linebacker, is dealing with a knee issue. And all these guys are either questionable or probable for the start of the season. What's your thoughts on those three?
Yeah, I think when Johnson gets healthy, he's the guy. But, you know, he needs the camp. He's a rookie because, you know, West and Crowell, they don't blow me away. I don't think they blow the coaches away. And of course, you know, the quarterback situation isn't settled in Cleveland. I mean, Bo, he's missed some games, but he usually plays most of the season. I remember once he missed a few games, suspended for PEDs. But he's a pretty good possession receiver. He just needs a quarterback to get him the football.
Okay. Let's move to the Dallas Cowboys. No, excuse me. Dallas Cowboys. Dez Bryant is dealing with a hamstring, and Byron Jones is dealing with an arm issue. Both of those, along with Lance Dunbar, who's dealing with an ankle issue, are probable for the start of the season. And quite naturally, on the defensive side, which is this is pretty big for the defense of the Cowboys, Greg Hardy and Rolando McClain, two twins, because the fact is they both have a 4-game suspension and won't be eligible until week 5. What's your thoughts?
Oh, and don't forget, Darren McFadden, I think now he's practicing, but
he's active now. Weeks.
Yeah, because I think he pulled his first hamstring when he was being born, I think.
when he was in the womb.
Yep. Yeah. But he was a newborn baby. He was on the pup list.
Yes.
Poor guy. But you know what? The thing is, and I mean this, you know, like a guy like McFadden, he's been a disappointing NFL player. You know, I think most people would agree with that statement. But I have nothing against him as a person. You know what I mean? Because that's what I don't like. When, you know, when once in a while there's a disappointing player, a bust or whatever, you know, people talk about him like they're a criminal or something. And that's usually not the case. You know what I mean? It's just I won't go that far with it. Just because the guy's not a good football player doesn't mean he's not a good person. So I won't go that far. And I don't like when people go in that direction, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the Denver Broncos, where Emmanuel Sanders is dealing with a hamstring issue. He's probable for the start of the season. You got the defensive lineman, Derek Wolfe, who's going to serve a 4-game suspension. And he'll be able to come back week 5. And, I wouldn't say he's not relevant, but he's been thought of being out since early part of May. So those two guys from the Denver Broncos, what's your thoughts on that? Looks like Manny Sanders will be able to come back in the beginning of the start of the season, but I guess they're going to treat him pretty gingerly until then.
Regarding Sanders, I have him in my Dynasty League, which is,
right,
you know, really like a hardcore keeper league. And, you know, he's one of my keeper guys. I got a bunch, and he's one of them. And he's one of my main guys. And I was very disappointed when I saw his hamstring. And hopefully they're just being cautious. And because he's a veteran and, you know, they do have a new offensive coordinator, though. But he did very, you know, he had a lot of receptions last year and should have a lot. But I think because of the new system, new coordinator, they're going to be running the ball more. Also, because Peyton Manning isn't getting any younger. Obviously, it's still going to be a good passing game. But I really think they're going to be running a lot more. And I think they're going to run it well.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the Detroit Lions, where they made a trade to get Haloti Ngata. He's been dealing with a hamstring. He's questionable for the start of the season. They're counting on Haloti Ngata to help fill the void that Dominic Sue left. What's your thoughts on it? This is just on the defensive side of the ball for the most part, that the Detroit Lions don't have any offensive players that are dealing with anything that may keep him out for any length of time. What's your thoughts on Haloti Ngata?
The Lions lost a couple other defensive linemen besides Sue, so they really got to reload that defensive line.
Right. Well, okay.
I mean, if they had three other, you know, studs, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But, right. You know, they got a practically new defensive line.
Yep. The Green Bay Packers have a guy, only Dontone Jones, a defensive lineman, who got suspended early part of July for one game. He's coming back against Seattle in week two. I'm not going to even go in there because it's really that's no relevance. But the next team that I'm talking about happens to be, unfortunately, my team, the Houston Texans, that took a huge hit, especially against one of the better running backs in the league, in Arian Foster, who tore a groin off his muscle. I mean, off the bone, had to have surgery, and quite naturally is doubtful for the start of the season. And I guess they're waiting to see how his rehab, his healing and rehab takes before they place him on the short-term IR list, which makes him eligible to come off in week 10, being that he's not eligible to be coming off the list until week 8. But Houston's on a bye in week 9, so he's not eligible to come back until week 10, which is deep into the fantasy football season, with only 2 or 3 games left from week 10. What's your thoughts, Jeff? Arian Foster out until who knows?
Yeah, I could see. I mean, maybe if you're in a very deep league, you can maybe pick him up at the end as a stash. But, you know, to me, a roster spot's so valuable. But, you know, and some of those really deep leagues, you're fighting for scraps, you know. It's like anybody with a pulse is on a fantasy roster in those kind of leagues.
Okay. How about we do this? This team doesn't need young players that they've drafted and are counting on or picked up from free agency to be hurt or out for the season or whatever. They need them all healthy so they can all get on the same page going into the season so they can make the best showing. Talking about the Jacksonville Jaguars, they got a nice list here. The defensive back, and this guy's an extremely good defensive back, Jonathan Cyprian, who's dealing with a finger issues, out for the preseason and probably for the start of the regular season. So they don't know when he's going to exactly come back. Tight end Julius Thomas, who they picked up from free agency, is out with a hand issue. He's out for the preseason, and it's probable for the start of the regular season, but they're not exactly sure when he'll come back. One of their second-year wide receivers that they may be counting on is wide receiver Marquise Lee, who's dealing with a hamstring, and he's questionable for the start of the season. A rookie that they drafted in the running back position, and they're probably counting on him to be the starting running back. I think he probably got a very good shot at doing that. And running back T.J. Yeldon, dealing with a finger issue, which is probably not going to prevent him from beginning the season, but he's not getting those reps in practice or especially in preseason games like you're talking about. He's a rookie, and he needs all the reps and experience he can get leading into the regular season. He got Dante Fowler, who was drafted by the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think he was their first-round pick. He's out with a torn ACL for the season. He won't see what he can do until next year. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
You know, it just goes to show you. I mean, you can't underestimate the importance of health in football, especially fantasy football. You know, the most important part of ability is availability. And, you know, take Julius Thomas, please. I mean, when healthy, he's terrific. The problem is he's not always healthy. I mean, you know, it happens. I mean, even the best players get injured. But, you know, let's say compare Julius Thomas to a couple of the great tight ends, guys who really, you know, made a career, guys like Gonzalez and Gates, also like Thomas, those guys played college basketball. But Gonzalez and Gates, those guys didn't miss a lot of games. I mean, Gates is going to miss a few games for a suspension, and he missed a couple of years ago, missed a couple of games for injury. But when those guys were in their prime, they didn't miss games. And it's the great players in their prime frequently don't miss many games. And another issue is sometimes, they differentiate, are you hurt or you're injured? And you got to be able to perform at a high level when you're hurt, because if you're the kind of guy who could only play when you're 100%, you're not going to do well in the NFL or in a lot of other things either.
That's true. Let's move to Kansas City Chiefs, where Dontari Poe, a defensive lineman, is dealing with a back issue. Sean Smith, a defensive back, is suspended for 3 games. Will be able to come back in week 4. Good thing Eric Berry, who was dealing with a cancer-type issue, is back and playing. A very good safety for the Kansas City Chiefs. Glad to see that he made a full recovery and is able to get back on the field. That's a miracle in itself, being able to deal with chemo and everything else and being able to come back and be able to perform and possibly perform well. What's your thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs and the players that they have issues with?
I think Andy Reid is a coach who doesn't want to work a team too hard in practice, tries to keep them fresh.
Right.
And,
that
approach is debatable. But, he had a good amount of success in Philly. He has some idea what he's doing.
All right, we move to the Miami Dolphins, who just lost their and this guy's a very good DB, Louis Delmas. Out for the season. I think he tore his ACL, if I'm not mistaken. The rookie wide receiver, there's another rookie, Jeff, that has been dealing with a foot issue. And I don't think he's been able to do anything in preseason. So he's way behind. He's questionable for the start of the season. And Deion Jordan, who got suspended for he's a defensive lineman, pretty good defensive lineman. He got suspended for the whole 2015 season. Talk to me, Jeff.
Yeah. Is Kenny still banged up? I think he might have suffered a minor injury, but I got Jarvis Landry in my dynasty league, so I'm penciling him to have upgrade from last year. He was part of a very strong rookie receiver group last year.
Yep.
And it looks like they used to say for fantasy, for wide receivers, they'd bust out in the third year. But now it's like they're busting out in the third practice,
Yep. Okay. Let's move on to this guy who I'm very suspect of. Everybody's pumping him up thinking he's going to have a great comeback year, but I'm very suspect. He's got to show me. He's hit that magical age of 30. He's dealing with a thigh issue, he only played 1 game last year due to suspension. Talking about the Minnesota Vikings, Adrian Peterson, and then they also have a defensive back, Jabari Price, who's suspended for 2 games and it's going to be back in week 3 against San Diego. What's your thoughts?
I think Peterson is one of those rare athletes where the things that apply to most people don't always apply to him, kind of like with his ACL. I mean, he came back from that injury, very serious injury, as good as new, which most guys don't. And then, of course, people were naive thinking, oh, now everybody's going to come back as good as new. No.
Yep.
Adrian Peterson, even on a high level, is an exceptional athlete. So, because it's AP, to me, the injury doesn't look as concerning as if it was someone else.
Okay, let's move on to the New England Patriots. This is going to be good. Tom Brady, who's suspended 4 games pending an appeal. Brandon LaFell is dealing with a foot. He probably won't see too much preseason work, probably for the start of the season. LeGarrette Blount is suspended for 1 game. He's going to come back in the week 2. And Dante Hightower, who's dealing with a shoulder issue, is questionable for the start of the season. What's your thoughts, Jeff?
For the purposes of fantasy and injury reports, the Patriots drive me absolutely crazy, and I'm surprised the league does not find them, because the teams are, they're supposed to accurately disclose injury information, and the Patriots are one of some teams that make a complete mockery of it. And Belichick is so incredibly paranoid. I mean, heaven forbid, if a guy died, he would have them listed as questionable. I mean, the littlest thing he won't disclose. And if you have a Patriot, you know, if there's one you're thinking about drafting, you have no clue. And then another reason which makes Patriots sometimes difficult for fantasy is they game plan as much as any team. So, they could sign a running back off the street, have them start in the next week, and then cut them the next week. You don't know. I mean, guys go from practice squad to starter, bench warmer to starter. They really keep you guessing, especially with the running backs. And, LaFell, I think he's been missing most of camp. Edelman's missed some camp. They drive you crazy. I don't think Brady's going to miss more than a game.
Okay. Let's talk about the.
Excuse me. I'm not feeling the love. I mean, as great as Gronk could be, I just can't bring myself to draft him in the first round. I just can't do it. I mean, he's excellent when healthy, but significant injury risk, and because he's a tight end, I just can't bring myself to do it in the first round.
Jeff, you and I are in total agreement of that. I would never draft a tight end in the first, second, third round, maybe third round. I feel I can get a decent tight end way later. So anyway, let's move on to the New Orleans Saints, who just recently in the last week got bad news about CJ Spiller. He's out for the preseason. And probably for the start of the regular season with a knee issue, and a tight end. I don't know if he's going to really make that much difference. Orson Charles, I don't even know if he's going to make the team. Suspended 1 game for, I think it's PEDs, if I'm not mistaken, or whatever. And eligible to come back in week 2. Talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, Spiller has a poor track record, as a pro for being able to stay healthy. He has been good at times for Buffalo, but that makes him a later pick, not an early pick. I'll tell you, it drives me crazy, this epidemic of these teams having these joint scrimmages and then these fights breaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
And recipe for it. A lot of guys getting hurt.
It's silly. And, they started the joint practices when, I guess, to save a buck or two, the teams cut down on the training camp roster. So you can't have – you don't have enough guys to have intra-squad games. So that led to the scrimmage, two team scrimmages. And it's ridiculous. So I really think they should expand the training camp rosters, and that they won't have to have these inner squad scrimmages like they've been having, because too many fights breaking out, and it's stupid. And the strong coaches, they tell the guys, hey, you're fighting practice. There's also been these little skirmishes, which usually they're minor, just within a team. They tell you, hey, you're going to get kicked out of practice, and you will be fined.
Yep.
And that's big. And some of these guys might be, trying real hard to make the team, but you get kicked out of practice, I'm fine. You're not, it doesn't help you making a team.
All right, well, let's go into the next team on the list, the New York Giants, who are dealing with a guy, Mekele Thompson, who injured his Achilles, is out for the season. They're also dealing with Reuben Randall and Victor Cruz, who had a devastating injury that will probably start the season. And quite naturally, we talked about it earlier with the first team we talked about. That was with the finger. And Jason Pierre-Paul, who's dealing with a hand, and it's questionable for the start of the season. Your thoughts? This is your New York Giants.
Yeah, I'll tell you, they got a couple of defensive backs hurt, so they had to sign somebody. You know, you just, these preseason games are so funny because, regular season, it's, did we win? Did the guys on my fantasy teams, how they do? Preseason, it's basically hold your breath and hope nobody gets hurt, you know?
Well, let me ask you something, Jeff, because I've been going back and forth, and I'm not sure. I like the guy, but I'm not sure if he's going to be ready. Victor Cruz, what's your thoughts on Victor Cruz and also, if he's going to be ready for the beginning of the season or not?
Coughlin's a guy who, he's very vague about injuries. Not quite in the Belichick category. It's so hard to tell, and which is – frequently, guys coming off of serious injuries, they keep out of preseason games. I mean, I think Cruz has been practicing, which is a good sign. But, Randall was banged up. Beckham is missing some practice. And, he's a great talent. That guy drives me crazy. And, during minicamp, he missed he was missing a part of minicamp because of a hamstring, and it wasn't the same hamstring as last year. And this is what cracks me up. And then the teammates were busting his chops, and then he was crying about it. Meanwhile, he's the biggest ball buster on the squad. You know what I'm saying? He needs to grow a pair. And as great as he was for those 12 games last year, it's hard for me to take him in the first round. Usually for me to, take a guy early, I want somebody who's been able to put a whole season together.
Okay. Let's move on to the Jets. Quite naturally, in the last 3 days, Geno Smith got into an altercation, and it's out in early October. Jason Morrow, who's dealing with a shoulder, he's a tight end. He's probable for the start of the season, along with Aaron Henderson, who's a linebacker, and naturally the defensive line is Sheldon Richardson, who's got all kind of issues, but is going to have to sit on the sidelines for 4 games due to a suspension, and won't be able to come back in a bye week 5 that the Jets have. Talk to me.
Yeah, they say, you see those pictures of Geno, his jaw's all swollen real bad, which I can't remember the last time I saw someone with a broken jaw. And he was working out, practice throwing already, I think, and they told him not to. The Jets signed Matt Flynn, which everybody criticizes him, but, probably the best available guy who wasn't in a training camp. And they wanted a veteran guy because Bryce Petty, is still very raw at this point. Tell you that Flynn has made a lot of money for basically what was a couple of good games in Green Bay. Hey, good for him. That's why if you got kids, if they want to teach them how to throw a football.
And the thing about it, Jeff, I don't know if you know this, he can't practice because he's dealing with an ankle or some type of leg issue, if I'm not mistaken. So it's that was a joke in itself. And I don't even know how he passed the physical, but they grabbed him and he can't even practice right away. All right, let's move on to the I'm going to skip a couple teams. I'm going to skip the Seahawks. I'm going to skip the Chargers. I'm going to skip the Steelers because I'm only dealing with a and I'm going to skip the Eagles and the 49ers, which I don't think they're going to be relevant anyway. And move on to the St. Louis Rams, because this is interesting, because I want to talk about and get your thoughts on Todd Gurley, who coming off an ACL, I think he's about eight or nine months removed from the ACL, is questionable for the start of the season. And believe it or not, if I'm not mistaken, he's going higher in mock drafts that I've seen than Trey Mason, who was pretty decent last year and supposedly is better against pass protection in practice this year. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's hard for me to get excited about a rookie who misses training camp. And,
yep.
You know, I think he's coming off, I think, a significant enough injury where he might not be 100% this year. So it's hard to embrace a guy like that.
Okay, and I'm going to skip the Tennessee Titans because it's only Delanie Walker that I'm really and I'm not going to talk about him. I think he should have no problem coming back from a thumb injury that he had. It's nothing that's going to keep him out for any extended period of time. I'm talking about the Washington Redskins, who seem like they got a nice dose of players either suspended or out for the season or injuries. Jamison Crowder, who, if I'm not mistaken, is a rookie. He's got a hamstring. He's questionable for the start of the season. D'Angelo Williams, who sustained a toe injury guarding DeAndre Hopkins in practice and is probable for the start of the season. DeSean Jackson, I think, in the same – I don't know if it was in the same game, but practicing against the Houston Texans, sustained a shoulder injury, is probable for the start of the season. Jordan Reed, who is dealing with a hamstring, it seems like he's always hurt, is probable for the start of the season. And Niles Paul, if I'm not mistaken, also is dealing with an injury. What's your thoughts on, last but not least, the Washington Redskins?
Yeah, they got decimated at tight end, and the only guy left is one who's missed 12 games the past 2 years. But he's pretty good when he's healthy. Yet, you know, you just can't underestimate the importance of health. I mean, because the thing is, I mean, if you draft guys who are healthy and have good track records, you're still going to have to deal with injuries. But if you start drafting injured guys and injury-prone guys, a lot of times you're going to have a lousy fantasy squad. And sometimes, like, the one who sticks out is Miles Austin from Garfield, New Jersey. I think he's with Philly now. But that guy for years had a lot of hamstring problems. And you wonder, I mean, I don't know if he did. If I was in his shoes, I'd be trying everything. I mean, acupuncture, yoga, ballet, meditation, you name it. You know what I'm saying? Anything that might work, I would try. Because the stakes are that high and it's worth it, you know?
Okay, that's right. And we've gone down the whole team's depth. I'm going to be watching some preseason games, usually some starters really get into it the second and third game. So hopefully these guys don't sit on the sidelines starting to get into it. Otherwise, you're going to get guys who start the season and are really starting their preseason with the first two or three regular season games, and you're not going to get good play. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. And for those people who are listening and have listened or catch me on Archives, catch us on Archives, I should say. Tune in next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, always on a Thursday, is the FSP Crew Show. Also, you can catch the FSP Show, which is hosted by Vic Gardner, co-hosted by myself at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday afternoon. And then on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, it's me all by my little self on the Master Plan, talking all sorts of sports. You never know what I'm going to talk about. I could be talking about some social issues, but we like to stay on point with some sports, but it could go off topic at any minute. Like I said, I want to thank you for listening, and come back next week, and we are out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics.